charges. After closing arguments, a jury is going to decide whether or not she's guilty of helping carry out the attack. Protests continue in Sacramento after a black man was shot and killed by police earlier this month. Stephen Clark shot in his grandma's backyard. Police were called about someone breaking car windows. When they approached him, they said it appeared as though he was reaching for a weapon, and that's when they opened fire. Black Lives Matter and other activist groups leading the protests. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The whistleblower that revealed that Cambridge Analytica accessed private information from Facebook during the elections now saying that Facebook's listening to you through your smartphone. Christopher Wiley speaking to British lawmakers saying Facebook tries to figure out where you are based on noise around you so they can improve their advertising. He also said his predecessor was murdered in Kenya and police were paid off to not investigate that. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg called to testify about the data breach on Capitol Hill. Israel's leading demographics expert defends some controversial population data. We get details from Chris Barnes.
When Israel's military recently released figures indicating the number of Arabs will soon equal the number of Jews in the Holy Land, the claim sparked outrage from nationalist lawmakers in Israel's parliament. Now a respected demographer from Jerusalem's Hebrew University says the figures are accurate when you factor in the population of the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem, along with the population of Israel proper. Leave the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem out of the equation, and Jews make up about 80% of Israel's population. Advocates of a two-state solution long warning the country risks losing its Jewish majority if a Palestinian state is not established alongside it.
That's Chris Barnes. Apple out with a new iPad to go up against the Chromebook, the new tablet, $299 for students. They're trying to take back some shares from Google, trying to prove that iPads are better than Chromebooks for students. Chromebooks can be had for as low as $150. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunter and Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Today we have a very special show in store for you guys today with Shannon Hogan, but first we have to do the weather. We have isolated showers tonight before 7 p.m. in local Hunterdon County, and tomorrow and Friday we have more showers coming in, so it will be a rainy weekend, but towards the end of the weekend on Sunday and Monday we will have some sun and some temperate temperatures of 60 degrees. So that's your weather. We will be right back with Shannon Hogan on Destination Hockey.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Today, I am most excited for this episode more than any others because we have Shannon Hogan. She is my role model in journalism. She's one of the best people you can ever talk to, and I'm very excited to kick off the show with her. We will first be talking a little bit about the NHL playoff picture before we get to her, but please stay tuned for this. It's going to be an exciting interview starting in a little bit. Right now, it is March 28th, 2018, and that date is important because March is coming to an end, April is approaching, and the NHL playoffs will be in full swing in a few weeks. The NHL playoffs are the most exciting playoffs there are in professional sports. Many people will agree with that. That's not just me saying that because I like hockey. The NHL puts forth this exciting, upset-ready, just madness, and even more than March Madness, you see eight seeds beating one seeds, which would be the equivalent of a 16 seed beating a one seed in college basketball. It's just, it's absolutely crazy to see these teams play their heart out and upsets all over. It's fast, it's exciting, it's physical, and playoff hockey's better than regular season hockey. It's a fact, and it's exciting for all hockey fans, even if you're an Islanders fan and the Islanders are out of it. It's one of the best times of the year. There have been a lot of teams in the NHL that have just had fantastic seasons, and a lot of them you wouldn't expect. Boston Bruins, Winnipeg Jets, Vegas Golden Knights, they've all clinched the playoffs. Most people did not predict them to be in the playoffs this year. They've clinched, and we're in March. It's it's really great that these teams are able to rejuvenate their fan base, give them an exciting season, which they haven't had for a long time. To start off the show, we're definitely going to do a segment on all these teams that have clinched. There are five of them, and it's exciting because these teams have been promised a spot in the playoffs. This is something that they know. The rest of their season could be considered meaningless if you're counting seeding or whatnot, but the playoffs are secured for them. They have accomplished their goal of making the playoffs. Now it's on to the Stanley Cup. So for our first segment today, we have who has clinched in the NHL, and we are starting off with the Nashville Predators. The Predators have lost three in their last four games and have encountered some recent struggles. They're the best team in hockey, many would say. They're President Trophy favorites. They are a dynamic team. Elite offense, elite defense, elite goaltending. That's what you need in the NHL. If you have that, you're going to go far. But last year, they were the surprising underdogs. They were the worst team in the playoff field. The Islanders had the same record as them last year, and the Islanders missed the playoffs. They upset the Blackhawks in dominating fashion and went on to the Stanley Cup only to lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They had a sneaky playoffs. They snuck in, and they got a terrific, terrific fan base to back them, and they really had a good year. This year, they're the favorites. But this comes with some struggles. Ryan Ellis, one of their best players on their defense, said, with all the comeback wins, the tight games versus some good teams, and some that are out of the playoffs, we're not really sure that we saw this coming, but I think we really needed a bit of a wake-up call. You don't see a team that's the best team in hockey have one of their best players say that. The Predators right now are struggling. They really aren't doing well. And is this cause for concern for the playoffs? I say potentially. Last year, they were reversed. They had no pressure, no expectations. They came in. They were the underdogs. They swept teams. They just played really well. This year, the sky's the limit for them. Stanley Cup is what they're expected. If they don't get a Stanley Cup, that's a bust. And the players are starting to react. Ryan Hartman, the Predators went all out at the deadline, and they acquired Ryan Hartman. Was that the right guy to go after? I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he was or wasn't, but with 11 goals and 20 assists in 71 games between Chicago and Nashville, it's clear that maybe the first round pick and fourth round pick could have gone towards better players that are more proven, like perhaps a Rick Nash or definitely an Evander Kane, who has completely single-handedly led the Sharks back into the playoff field and are now favorites. I'm not going to question the Predators what they're doing, but all I'm saying is they do have some cause for concern. Another team that has a cause for concern that has clinched moving on is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They have 27 wins at home this year. They're 12-3-1 in their last 16 games, yet they are in no way finished and have no way accomplished any of their goals. Last year, they weren't in the playoffs. They were completely injury-riddled. Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, nowhere to be found like they have been this year. Steven Stamkos was injured. But this year, they're a complete team, just like Nashville. Great defense. They added Ryan McDonough at the deadline. Great offense. Complete. They added a JT Miller. Who adds JT Miller and Ryan McDonough at the deadline? That's unheard of. And another great goalie, potential Vezina winner. The Tampa Bay Lightning are a complete team. But again, just like the Predators, you have a team that is analytically unsound and has a lot of issues. The penalty kill is 27th in the league at 75%, right above the Islanders, who are god-awful last power play in the league. The Lightning are outshot in 23 of their last 35 games. That is not a sustainable way of playing hockey. The Islanders showed that when they got outshot, managed to win because they have Matt Barzal and John Tavares, just like the Lightning have Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov. But that's not a type of game in the playoffs that is sustainable. You will not win a Stanley Cup in a 28-game potential playoff gauntlet with that type of game. You need to limit shots. They still have some very good numbers. Most goals in history, most wins from a goalie, Vasilevsky, who's matched a franchise record. But the New Jersey Devils are coming up, and they are fighting for the 8th seed right now. They would be the Lightning's first-round matchup if things stayed the same right now. The New Jersey Devils are a feisty, young, fast team. Local people know that. And I'm telling you right now, the Devils have a chance to upset the Lightning. They are one of the best teams I've seen in New Jersey since, you know, Henrique is over. They are a fantastic team. And the Lightning, I don't know. Are they going to be able to beat this team, a team that they've lost to three times already this regular season? It's cause for concern. Analytically, this team is very, very weak. I read an article from The Athletic that they are not a top contender based off their numbers. The Carolina Hurricanes have better numbers than them, and they're a fading out team. But they have the star power. They have the luck. They have the coaching. They have the management. They're a good team. I would not be as concerned as a lot of people are saying. But if you just Google Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of negative articles come up. People are starting to get concerned. A team with absolutely no concern is the Boston Bruins. Theoretically, they should just be able to beat anyone, even more so than the Lightning and the Predators. They just have a unit that teams would dream of. I mean, absolutely dream of. They had a fantastic lineup to begin with, but then they go out. They add Ryan Donato, who is an unheralded hero, Brian Gionta, Rick Nash, Tommy Wingles, Nick Holden. They all come in and stabilize this roster that already had Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand. I mean, I'm telling you, this team is just so stacked. They're going to have a solid six players, healthy scratches in the playoffs that could probably slot into the New York Islanders team right now. And that's not a lot to say. The Islanders are very bad, but the Bruins are fantastic. Patrice Bergeron and Tony Krug, they're injured. This team is so injury riddled, and they have been able to combat these terrible injuries. They've got two of their star players back, according to their coach Bruce Cassidy. David Backes is ready to go. You'll see him in a certain time frame because he got a really bad cut, but you'll see him soon. Charlie McAvoy, Jake DeBrusk will join the team. Rick Nash will be back before the playoffs due to a hit he absorbed. Those are like five of their best players that are injured right now. They're going to be back before the playoffs. This team is sensational. I would be very confident if I'm a Bruins fan. They are potentially the favorites right now. They might not be the top seed in the Atlantic. If they are, expect them to kill the Devils first round. Expect them to kill Florida. They are so sound. And out of all the teams, I think they have the least cause for concern. I'm not sure. They don't have the greatest experience. They're young, but I'm very excited about watching the Bruins in the playoffs. Winnipeg Jets, another team that no one expected to come in this year and do what they've done. They could be last year's Predators, coming out of kind of nowhere, using gritty momentum to come up and just be unstoppable. On home ice, no one's really better. All these teams are really good on home ice, but the Jets are really up there. They're a great home ice team. Fans are hopeful this success will translate into the playoffs. This team has had some great, really great rosters. Dustin Byfuglien, Blake Wheeler, they've been a good team. But they've never won a playoff game. They've gotten swept. They haven't made it. It's been upsetting. This year, I would bet anything that they win at least a game. You expect them to win the first round in a series most likely against the Minnesota Wild. And this Predators matchup, Predators-Jets. Brian Compton has been tweeting it. All these guys are tweeting it. This is going to be one of the most exciting playoff matchups we've ever seen. Very exciting times for these two teams. You don't want to speculate until the next round. I hate doing that. You don't just expect you're going to win the first round. But Winnipeg Jets, pretty surefire first round victory, and they're going to be good. Vegas Golden Knights. This is another team. I mean, I just had to pause for a second before saying this because it's so unfathomable what they've done. I can't even believe that I've talked about this team so much on the show. You don't hear me talking about the Buffalo Sabres or the Arizona Coyotes because they are just not teams that are worth talking about. The Vegas Golden Knights were supposed to be in that category. Instead, they're one of the best teams in hockey. You have a roster of players all basically playing for contracts, either to stay in Vegas or to impress another future team. You have a roster of players that are all motivated to get a new contract, which is, you don't see that anywhere else. And they're competing against each other. They're competing against the past teams that bailed on them. They're competing for this fan base that has dealt with adversity, the Vegas shooting. I know that's not a reason to, go out there and win every night. You do it anyway, but they are rallying up the city. They're playing for their fans. Every single player on this team, not an exaggeration, I swear, every single player on this team is overachieved. Every player has gotten their chance and has run with it. The team rolls out four solid lines, three solid D pairs. They value winning, and they did not settle on being just another expansion draft team. Marc-Andre Fleury, 28-11-4. William Karlsson, 69 points after having 8 goals last year. An all-star potential player. He's playing for a contract. He's going to get a big one. Vegas Golden Knights, I pray for the NHL. They are a storyline. They're the storyline of the year. I really hope they make it far. Those are your five teams that have clinched. That's our segment, Who Has Clinched. Really excited for these five teams. The two teams I listed to start, Tampa Bay, Nashville. You might think they're, the elite teams of the league. They have the easiest road. I'm telling you, those are two teams that are struggling. The other teams, these new up-and-coming teams, they are young. They're fired up. And I'm very excited for the playoffs this year. even though the Islanders aren't in it. So that's our segment about the playoff teams that have clinched. We'll be right back with the one and only Shannon Hogan.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. We are here with Shannon Hogan, who is an Islanders host and reporter, and I'm extremely excited to speak to her today. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, David. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Thanks. So we have had a lot of great guests on the show coming in the past, including Islanders superfan Patrick Dowd. And all of these people around the Islanders, things may be going tough, but they all stress that it's so important to stay positive. And that has really stuck with me, and it is clear that it's something you follow on the broadcast as well. How important has it been to stay positive in your job, no matter how bad things can get?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's my job. My job is a reporter and to kind of bridge the gap between what's going on the ice and the fans and to provide both information and also entertainment. And I've been clear kind of in my mission of broadcasting over the last 10, 12 years that if you're watching an Islanders game or if you're watching any sports game, you're doing it for a feeling of togetherness. You're a part of that group. You're a part of the fan base. You're a part of the team. But it's also an escape from real life. And I don't know if anybody else has been watching the news or opening a newspaper or anything lately, just scrolling through your Instagram or Twitter feed. There's a lot of negativity and there's a lot of dark stuff going on in our world. And my feeling has always been, no matter what your team is doing, whether they're headed to the playoffs, going to the World Series, or they're having a rebuilding phase, it's an escape, and it should be a positive one. And so that's kind of something that I've always tried to carry with me. You know, we're not curing cancer. There are other people that have really important jobs, keeping us safe, educating our children, you know, doing all kinds of things around the world. I'm just there and have... feel lucky to be able be a part of a broadcast team covering a hockey team, you know?
Yeah, and we all appreciate what you do. Staying positive is just so nice because you go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, which most people nowadays have social media, and it's all negativity. Even when the team was doing well, you know, 2 years ago, last year, on their stretch, it's always negativity, and that has been
great. Yeah, but I do think, David, though, that is part of being a fan. And I think the players, if you talk with them, they understand that. They know that people aren't happy. Do you think they want to lose games? No, they don't want to lose games. We don't want to watch them lose games. We don't want to talk about them losing games, period. I mean, that's not a secret. It's not a surprise. And I do think that fans have the right to voice their discontent and to voice their concerns and to be a part of, you know, talking about what they think could be better or what direction they feel the team should go. Is ownership, are the general managers of teams going to always listen? No, not necessarily. They have other advisors and scouts and people in the front office to talk to. But I think that is also a fun part of being a fan is talking about it and seeing what you want for the direction of the franchise that you follow.
Yeah, and constructive criticism, that's really healthy. And watching the broadcast, you know, you could be negative. You could complain about the team, you know, hope for better things. But, you know, you come to the broadcast as your, like, place of, like, just happiness. You want to be positive. You want to watch the good things with the team. And that's what you, Brendan, Butch really helped the team do. So that's great. And another,
well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. And another positive aspect of this team that we have really been able to witness firsthand, and I'm sure you have too, Matthew Barzal is just sensational to watch. He's the most dynamic player I've ever seen. Not an exaggeration. I swear he's crazy up and down the ice. How fun has it been to just watch this kid come from taking a penalty last year and his two penalties in a row in his first game to now being not just one of the best rookies in the league, one of the best players in the league?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. I definitely think that's been the bright spot for the Islanders. And funny story, actually, yesterday we're in Ottawa, and it was the one-year anniversary of, actually Tuesday was, the anniversary of when I got engaged. And, you know, I had like a little thing on Instagram, and I'm walking in to go to our broadcast meeting, and Matt comes from like 50 yards down. He's like, Hogan, oh my God, congratulations, like big hug. And I'm looking at him like, what's going on? And he's like, you're getting married. That's great. And I'm like, Matt, you obviously didn't read the whole Instagram post. It was a year ago. And he's like, oh, yeah. Either way, you're getting married, you know. So I think it's also been fun because he's got this great personality, you know, and I think the fans can see that as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun to cover. He is green with his emotions in that it's still fun. The game is still fun to him. He's still learning and enjoying it. But the speed and skill that he has on the ice, it really is unbelievable. And just his ability to hold on to as long as he does, even though I know the coaching staff and, you know, George Eberle will say, like, sometimes you're kind of like, all right, let's try not to create so much and look for the simple pass. It's still impressive how much he's able to control that and the penalties he's been able to draw. And I mean, it's been unbelievable. He's obviously the clear choice for the Calder, and really exciting to see how he continues to grow, because he's somebody that's willing to learn. He's looking at video, he's listening to the coaches, he works hard. So while he has that confident attitude and the talent, he is not someone whose talent, I think, is capped at what we're seeing right now. And, you know, he's 20 years old, so he's only going to physically develop, grow, and get stronger, which will help him in the league as well.
Yeah, this kid is a year and a half older than me. It's just unfathomable to realize he has the best plus-minus penalty differential. You touched on that in the league besides Tkachuk in Calgary. He draws penalties. He doesn't take them. And people say this about him all the time. It's not just you saying it. His character off the ice might even be better, and it's so hard to say with how good he is. It might even be better than his play off the ice. I have countless stories. I'll briefly tell one of them. At the Philadelphia game, the preseason game in Allentown, I yelled down to him at the warm-ups. I yelled, may you please sign my puck? He goes, I'll do it after warm-ups. I'm like, okay, he's not going to do it. He comes out of warm-ups. He comes and greets me in the stands with all the other fans and comes signs my puck. This is like during warm-ups. You know, players don't do this. At the Detroit game, he's throwing pucks out, signing them. He is one of the nicest guys I have just ever met, ever seen. And you must know that too. He's just such a nice guy.
Yeah, puck-wise, it's really funny. I don't know. The games start to run together after a while, David, but it's been recently over the last 2 weeks on this most recent homestand. he was the first star of the game. And, you know, they skate out with a puck, and they're going to flip it over the glass and give it to a kid. And he flips the puck over kind of on the far side of the ice before he was coming over for the interview. And normally they just skate right over, and I could tell he was standing around looking because it looked as if an adult had taken the puck that was meant for a kid. And he was just staring that person down like, come on, you know, give the puck to the kid. But he wanted to make sure that that little kid got the puck before he came over. And so, you know, kind of the things, the routine of being an NHL player, I think, sometimes can get lost because he is trying his best to balance that, you know, that the fans are happy that he's, you know, doing this and that. And if you're a fan and you see him and he doesn't have time to sign for you, please don't take that offensively.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, he's being, I would say, badgered. I mean, everywhere we go, he can't even go to the airport when we're in Ottawa, you know, at 11:30 at night without having to sign. And that can be a lot for a player. And I think sometimes fans take that personally if they're the last one that didn't get the autograph and they only signed one or two. But it's a lot. You know, they've just played. They're emotionally drained. And I really feel like, especially with the Islanders, not just Barzal, they'll do whatever they can to give you the time when they can. And if they don't give you the time, it's really because they're still in work mode and they just don't have the mental energy at that point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Barzal's personality, it's great. We all know that. You as well as are notorious, and that's a bad word, but I can't think of another word. But you're notorious for having a great personality and just being very friendly. And on the air, you were in Detroit, and you were with the Tigers and all the local teams around there, and you were just very friendly and always great with the players and fans. How did that atmosphere in Detroit help prepare you for where you are now in Brooklyn?
I think it was great. I mean, I feel like every step of my career has been helpful in growing for that next step. But Detroit's a great sports town. If you have never been there and you've only heard of 8 Mile and seen, you know, pictures of the downtown in disarray, you're not familiar with the Detroit that is now and the city that's really making a great comeback. And the fans are fantastic. I mean, they're loyal. They're similar to Detroit, or they're similar to New York fans in that, you know, they're passionate win or lose. And they're watching their games. It's freezing outside in the winter, so they're at every game. They're at every Red Wings game. And so I think it was humbling for me because I consider Michigan home and the Detroit area home. My parents still live there. I went to high school there. So it felt very comfortable from the get-go, and I realized that I was in a place of privilege that almost everybody would that like sports would love the opportunity to get to cover one team, let alone three or four, and would love the opportunity to get to know athletes and coaches. And so I've always just felt very lucky and like I, of course, should take the time to talk to fans and answer questions from the teams because I have a unique position, and that is my job. And it's interesting. You mentioned the Twitter thing. I decided to take a break from Twitter for Lent, and I was mentioning some negativity and some of the, you know, quick cutbacks my fiance let me know about was, oh, she can't cut it. She should toughen up. She's in New York now. It's like, I've been here for 4 years. I know how it is. I have a thick skin. I hear negative stuff all the time. Sometimes people just like to complain, but it's no different anywhere else in the country. You know, if you're in a position where you're on television, people can critique your job every single day. So when you have a bad day, or you pick a bad outfit, or you ask the wrong question, people are going to let you know. And that's not any different here in New York. So it was great getting used to that in Michigan and great working with some really interesting coaches and managers. Jim Leland, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but when I was there, he was the manager for the Tigers and quite the character. And not easy on everybody to interview. And I have had many conversations with Jim, and we worked through our relationship of what worked for him and what worked for the broadcast. And in the end, it made me a much stronger and better interview. And it also gave me a great appreciation for what a manager and a coach goes through throughout the season.
Yeah, everyone that you work with, whether it's a player, a coach, it's very important to understand that they're people, you know, they're just like us.
Yeah.
And they're not these robots. They're not these icons that, you know, they need to, their job is to play the sport, but they also, you know, they have emotions, and
yeah.
it's really just, Doug Weight gets a lot of hate, but I heard from two different people unprompted on the show, Neil Best, Jim Bomback of Newsday, both said Doug Weight is the nicest coach they've ever talked to in, you know, the media and in all of New York. It's tough. It's hard as Islanders fans listening that might not be the biggest fan of Doug Weight. You know, it's important to realize that, you know, everyone's a person, and, you know, it's positivity. You know, we've talked about it all the time, but it's really important to keep in mind that, you know, things might be going tough, but, you know, staying positive and being making mistakes is what people
well,
do.
Well, yeah, I think for Doug Weight, I mean, I've known Doug now for 4 years. It's not like he's new to the organization. He's not new to hockey. You know, he's one of the most decorated, you know, American-born players to play the game, and he gets it. What he also gets is that he wants to win. You know, he sees a vision for this team, and he sees potential in players that maybe they don't even see in themselves. And I can tell you what, there are a couple jobs I would never want in my life. I don't want to be the president. I don't want to be the head coach of any team, and I don't want to be a GM. They're thankless jobs.
Yeah.
Unless you have a perfect season, it's thankless. Look at Joel Quenneville over in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
perfect example.
Dan Fischler and I were just talking the other day on the broadcast. You know, you win three cups, and you have a couple down years, and the next thing you know, you're on the chopping block. I mean, people are talking about you. It really is a thankless job. And, you know, I'm not trying to compare Doug to anybody else that I've ever interviewed. Jack Capuano was fantastic and very, very good to me in my time. And I would say that, you know, Doug's personality is just different. And we have a very good working relationship. And, you know, we had good conversations before the season even started. He said, listen, I'm emotional. And I said, listen, I'm not always going to ask the perfect question. And I think we were always on the same page that there would be nights that maybe I would misphrase something or we wouldn't be on the same page. And there'd be nights that he probably didn't want to talk to me, because when you lose a couple games in a row, you want to figure out what you can do to make the team better. The last thing you want to do is come out 2 minutes after the game and chat with me. So I understand where he's coming from, and we have a very, you know, good working relationship. He is a great guy. He is always willing to talk hockey to anybody, you know, whether you're leaving the rink or standing in the hotel lobby getting ready to check out and jump on the bus or the plane somewhere. I have a lot of respect for Doug, and really I think it's just hard because fans are only seeing that glimpse of him, and yet, you know, his job isn't to be loved by the fans. His job is to help the team win. So I don't think that is so much of a concern for him at this point.
Yeah, it's great to get that perspective from you. Hearing that was really opening, because, you know, a lot of fans, you know, they don't really know behind the scenes, but Doug Weight really is a great guy, great personality. And just taking a step back, you were a star swimmer at the University of Missouri, quite the transition, but we're running low on time here, so I'm going to do it. Did you know sports broadcasting? You were a swimmer. Was that your dream, or did you know that sports broadcasting was potentially an option for you?
I was what we called in college, I went to University of Missouri, which is the world's first journalism school and also a top broadcast journalism program, and it was amazing. So if there are people out there listening, kids in high school or, you know, in college looking for a change, I would highly, highly, highly recommend University of Missouri. I felt totally prepared going into the journalism world after that. But I was what they call the half sporto, because I always was interested in television, news and sports. And I'm a little bit older than you, and you have to kind of look back. So the roles for women in sports were not as prevalent, you know, when I first started watching TV 20 years ago. So, you know, 25 years ago. So it's, you know, it's kind of evolved over the last couple of decades, and we've been lucky for that. So I was really kind of interested in both, and did an internship in college with Fox Sports Southwest. Down there was covering the Astros, and really was like, yeah, I think this is, you know, this is what I want to do, but there aren't that many sports jobs out there. It's hard to get a sports job. So I was open after college to applying for news jobs as well, because I did enjoy news. And so my first job out of college, I actually got a weekend sports anchor job, weekday news reporter in Salinas, California, which is Market 124, so on the central coast of California. And I think that that was really, really good for me, and it's actually advice that I give to a lot of journalism students that say they want to do sports. My biggest thing is no one can ever take your sports knowledge away from you. If you know sports and you are passionate about sports, that's in you. But being comfortable with your television presence and how you address an audience or a camera in a live situation is something that requires a lot of practice. And it's great to do a radio show. It's great to do anything that you can, whether it's radio, television, or news, to kind of get those reps under your belt. So for me, it was fantastic. I was going live nightly from all kinds of things. I've covered the not-so-fun stuff like city council meetings to the U.S. Open to the MotoGP to gang shootings. And that's something I really would not want to cover again. And it gives me a great appreciation for the men and women who provide that service for our country as journalists, covering the really serious, important topics. But I also find, that I really wanted to be a good part of someone's day. And that's what brought me to sports. I loved it. It made me feel like I was alive and a part of something. And my goal was always to be a part of a community and be able to share the team and the sports with the community that I was a part of. So I guess you could say this was my dream job, because you feel like that when you're an Islanders fan or when you're part of the Islanders organization or part of MSG Network, you get it and you feel it at the games, whether it's in Brooklyn or at the Coliseum or on the train or at any of the bars or restaurants around the arena before or after a game. You kind of feel like you're all a part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. And as your time as a broadcaster, you've certainly built up quite the highlight reel. You've experienced some video bombers in Detroit, and my favorite moment was definitely the haunted house clip in New York that I'll always remember. That was hilarious.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, because it will never happen again.
Yeah,
I'm never going in the haunted house again. It was supposed to be like a little shtick with Stan where I was going to turn one corner, like not halfway through the haunted house, just a couple of steps in, and Stan was going to be there. But no, our producer thought this would be great. Like, let's just put Shannon in the haunted house. I was mortified. My heart rate, I think, was through the roof for the entire broadcast and until I got home that night. And my fiance was laughing hysterically. He was like, you were so funny. I was like, that was not an act. I'm actually petrified of things in masks. And the idea of things jumping out or a haunted house, that is the worst. Like, I would be worse than, like, a five-year-old child going through a haunted house. I just, oh my gosh, it was, my heart was pounding. We had to have one of our associate producers, Bobby Mills, at the second half of that feature, is literally ahead of me going, to basically solicit the scare before I got to them, because I was so nervous that they were going to jump out and like grab me or something. I just, it was awful. It was fun for the audience. I know everybody had a lot of laughs, but I'm glad you caught it, because you won't see it again.
So that was just one of the great moments you've had with your time with the Islanders and the Red Wings and Tigers, all the teams you've covered. How great has it been to go after your dreams and succeed so much in this field?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. And you know what? Actually, it's good to talk to you now. It's a nice reminder, because you get to this point in which you have five games remaining, and it's easy in any job to kind of be caught up in the grind. And, you know, if they're not winning, or they're not going to go to the playoffs, or I got in at 3:00 in the morning from Ottawa last night. It's easy to get into the, I got to pack again or this and that. But it's important to remember how lucky I am to have this job and the experiences that I've been able to have that most people don't get. And to cover teams that have done some really exciting things, the Tigers going to the World Series and the playoffs and the Red Wings playoff streak that I was a part of, and, you know, the Islanders winning that playoff series against Florida. And, you know, like, all of those are just little things that are moments I will never forget. But they're little moments. So when you're in the grind of any job, I would say just try to keep in mind that there are these little things and you need to savor them, because, you know, it is a job and not every day is going to go perfectly and exactly how you want it. You're going to be tired some days. So this is actually a very nice reminder, David, of how lucky I am and how much I do really enjoy my job.
Well, that means a lot. I'm glad I was able to serve as that. I just want to, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a tremendous honor to speak to someone that I look up to so much, and it's just...
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you for having me.
Trust me.
Come say hi at Islanders game.
I will.
Anytime.
I'll be there Friday, so that's my first game since the Detroit game. I will see you. So thank you so much again. Bye.
All right, bye.
So that was Shannon Hogan. She is a MSG Islanders host and broadcaster, one of the nicest and most exciting and happiest people around the New York Islanders. It was an honor to speak to her today, one of the most excited I've been to speak to a guest. She told us some great things about Doug Weight that people might not know, about Matt Barzal, and it was just really exciting to talk to her today. So again, thank you so much to her. And next week, I don't want to say I'm not sure if I can compare something to this, but Brendan Burke, her coworker and the Islanders I don't even know. He's the Islanders announcer, I guess. He works with Butch Goring. He works with Shannon. He's the voice you hear when you're watching a game. He'll be on the show next week. So we've got another great guest next week. I'm equally as excited for that. It's just been so fantastic to be able to speak to all these great people, make connections with them, and talk hockey with you guys, because I'm really thankful for it. Just like Shannon's thankful for her job, I'm extremely thankful that I've been able to come on to the Hunterdon Chamber Radio and talk to all these great guests and talk hockey with Hunterdon County. So we do unfortunately have to move to a commercial break. We will be back with the dynamics of tanking and what tanking means. So please stay with us for that.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
So what is tanking? When you hear that word, I know my mom who's listening, she probably has no idea what that word means. But sports fans, when they hear the word tanking, they just shrivel up and get all scared because it's a terrible word. You never want to be tanking. You never want to have this terrible season that is a tank. And it's just not fun. According to the most reliable source there is, the Urban Dictionary, the word tanking in terms of sports would be used to describe a purposeful bad performance, and tanking is competing with the hope of getting a better spot in the draft. It's giving up. It's throwing games away, purposely losing to get a better spot in the draft of the respective sport. Tanking does not just happen in the NHL. It is a very big problem that heads of sports leagues, whether it's Adam Silver or Gary Bettman, they need to keep this into account because it's just, it's a big problem. no one wants to tank, and when you're tanking, it means that you're purposely losing. That's not what sports are about. Top picks, lottery picks, it's a scary game. When Colorado tanked last year and had one of the worst records we have ever seen in the modern day NHL at 22-56-4, they wound up with the fourth overall pick. So you might be wondering, how can they have the worst record we've seen in like 10 years but get the fourth pick? It's because of the NHL draft lottery. The NHL draft lottery is this lottery ball, ping pong ball style game where Gary Bettman or whoever does it, they pick balls and they announce it, and they announce who gets the pick. It's completely random, and teams get hopped. The top team only has an 18% chance of getting the first round pick. If you flip a coin five times, I mean, that's like saying you're going to get heads, you know, two times and banking on that and betting money. It's not a safe bet. It's not what you want to be betting on. So even if you are the worst team, you win zero games, there is a better chance you will not pick first than you will pick first. And that's scary for teams. That's scary for the Buffalo Sabres, Arizona Coyotes, the teams I talked about earlier that we never want to talk about. We're going to talk about them now because they are in a tank or whatever you may call it. The Colorado Avalanche, however, I did bring them up. They had a terrible year last year, worst we've ever seen, I've seen in my adult, young adult life. But they go out, Mikko Rantanen has a breakout year, Nathan MacKinnon has a breakout year. They address some depth signings, you know, Nyl Yakupov, they get some good defensemen, they get a good draft pick. But all takes one move, one competent general manager, and it's tough to call Joe Sakic competent as an Islanders fan, but he is. He got the best price possible for Matt Duchene. He got draft picks, first-round picks, second-round picks, third-round picks, Samuel Girard, top players. He really did well in that trade. That was not a tank trade. That was not a trade we're giving up. Here's Matt Duchene. That was a trade we want to win. That team has encompassed the hearts of Colorado because they are in a playoff spot. They are battling it out. I think they're 1 point out right now. They've been in a playoff spot for most of the year, and they have the potential Hart Trophy winner on their team. They did not focus on losing this year. After that Matt Duchene trade, they did not focus on purposely losing games for a better spot in the draft. They focused on getting better. When you have this mindset that winning is more important than losing, that's what most people would think, right? You want to win. But it's not something you always see. A lot of fans, Islanders fans, I've even said it, you know, oh, I'd rather lose. But that's that might not have a lot of meaning, that statement, because you need to think about everything. Jack Eichel, the star of one of the NHL's bottom dwellers in the league, the Buffalo Sabres, I can't really say this as an Islanders fan, but they're just a terrible hockey team. I feel bad for that fan base. They are not good. And he said this. You look at Colorado and some of these teams, New Jersey, they make a quick turnaround and all of a sudden they're in the playoff hunt. We have not done that. They've been the worst team in the league. They're going to be this year. They were 3 years ago. They are not a good team. Tanking doesn't really work. It's sad to say. Chicago Blackhawks, Pittsburgh Penguins, they have one bad year. They get a star, and look where they are. They're a top team in hockey for their dynasty. Tanking, repeated losing seasons, purposely losing games, it sticks with the team. It's not something, oh, let's lose a few more games. Islanders have five more. Let's purposely lose out. We'll get better odds in the lottery. And, you know, all said and done, it's fun. It's happy. Yay, we get Rasmus Dahlin. We get a better chance at him. But those five games where you're purposely losing, where you're in the locker room and everything's negative, as Shannon Hogan says, that's not good. That is cancerous. That is a tumor that it's really, really bad. And that could lead to John Tavares leaving. That could lead to Doug Weight getting fired, Garth Snow being fired. Not because of all the bad things he did in the past, because they're not trying to win. And one thing I haven't even touched on is just the fact that tanking, it really, in the prototype, you know, in the classic sense, it doesn't really happen. Teams are not going to put the white flag out at puck drop and purposely lose. It doesn't happen. They're making money. They need to play well. But general managers can purposely not have a good roster. Coaches cannot try as much as they would in the playoffs. And, you know, that's what a tank is in the NHL. A follower DM'd me this morning on Instagram. Another problem with tanking is injury concerns. I mean, if you're in the NHL and you're skating around, not really playing hard, you're going to get hit and you're going to get injured. So players need to play hard. You don't see players not trying. Players are always trying to win, and that's why tanking in the NHL, when it has happened very infrequently, it doesn't work, and it just doesn't really happen. The Islanders tank. A lot of fans say, let's tank as an Islanders fan. I've jokingly said, you know, the Islanders continue their tank, or that the tank has been blocked for a day. But the Islanders are not tanking. They are just a bad hockey team. They are not good. Their defense yesterday was Ryan Pulick, Thomas Hickey, Scott Mayfield, Adam Pellick, Dennis Seidenberg, and Brandon Davidson. If you're a casual listener, you do not know who one of those players are. And if you're an Islanders fan, you're vomiting at the thought that that is a defense in the NHL. It's a bad team. I'm sorry. Shannon Hogan didn't say it. It's her job to stay positive, but she probably knows deep down the Islanders have not been good this year. Doug Weight probably knows it. The Islanders have lost so many games this year. They've won 16 out of their last 52 games. That is just a number that you look at and your eyes come out wide. That is a bad, bad number. They've gotten eliminated from the playoffs, but to some fans' anger and unhappiness, the Islanders get eliminated from the playoffs at the hands of ex-coach Jack Capuano on Monday. And what do they do in their first game after they're eliminated when the Blackhawks and the Hurricanes and other teams have the same amount of points as them? They win a game against Ottawa. A lot of fans were not happy about that. If the Islanders lose that game, their odds are seventh best. Now they're eighth because the Blackhawks now have fallen behind them in the standings. It's a tough game to play. I'm not here suggesting a side. I'm just here to bring up the facts that tanking in the NHL is concerning, it's scary, and it's not something you see for a reason, because the tank, as you call it, as Urban Dictionary says, throwing it away. The symbolism of throwing it away, you think of taking garbage and putting it in a garbage can. The Islanders are not going to do that with games because of so many different reasons. And I think that's the point I want to touch on with the tank, because a lot of fans listening are probably rooting for the other team when they are watching Islanders games at this stage. That's fine as a fan. I understand you want them to have better draft odds, but just keep in mind the implications that may have. And we're going to move on now to talking about John Tavares, because that's definitely the main implication. John Tavares is a pending free agent. He has said some very promising things towards media, to Shannon Hogan, to Stan Fischler about his future. But fans are still not confident. The Montreal Canadiens beat writer just put out an article about why the team must go after John Tavares. The rumblings amongst these teams that are out of it, their focus is starting to shift from the season to John Tavares. That's very concerning. Dennis Potvin said during the broadcast on Monday, he suspects that John Tavares will test free agency. John Tavares will not be signed by July 1st, according to Dennis Potvin. But in a bold, interesting take, he actually said that Tavares would return July 3rd, July 4th, whatever. He signs a contract with the Islanders. Why would he do that, you might ask? Why would Dennis Potvin, who Patrick Dowd, Islanders superfan, is his idol, it's an idol of a franchise, our captain during the dynasty years, why would he make such a bold claim? Well, here's why. John Tavares has not seen enough to commit long-term to this team yet. He hasn't. The team is not very good. They've had 12 years of mediocrity. He's missed the playoffs in six times out of the last eight seasons since 2009. I think it's nine seasons, actually. Six times out of nine seasons. That is a really bad number. In a league where half the teams make the playoffs, for those of you unfamiliar with it, 16 out of 31 teams make it. To miss the playoffs six out of nine times, very scary number. It's not good. It means you're not tanking, would be the word, but it means you're not acquiring assets through the draft, but it also means you're not progressing as a franchise. Obviously, part of that is attributed to Garth Snow. We know that, but it's not a good look for the team. John Tavares is not able to commit to this team right now. That's why he hasn't signed an extension. So look for him to test the markets. Visit with San Jose. Visit with Montreal. visit with these teams and then make an educated decision that he has built an empire in New York. He has not gotten a lot of help, but he has been the face of this franchise. He has been the leader. He has led this team to victory. He is the sole reason the Islanders won a playoff series. And he has built a lot in Long Island, in Brooklyn. He has really single-handedly helped the Islanders reach the prominence that they have. There hasn't been a lot, but you know what they have gotten, it's because of John Tavares. Is he going to leave that to go to San Jose or Montreal? Sure, he might think about it. He might consider it. But I don't think he makes that decision in the end. I think Tavares, he gets offered the eighth year from the Islanders. He gets a lot more money. I'm guessing that Tavares gets a McDavid-type deal as opposed to a Stamkos-type deal, which means that he'll be getting closer to $12 million a year as opposed to like 8 or 9. I think Tavares returns. And maybe I'll ask Brendan Burkett next week what he thinks. A lot of people have been saying different things. Justin Bourne said maybe. Neil Best said yes. You know, a lot of different people have been saying different things. But John Tavares, I think, will stay. But it's close. We can all agree that it's not, oh, John Tavares is going to stay. It's maybe he'll stay, maybe he won't. Tanking and purposely losing five games, John Tavares is the captain of this team. He represents them. What kind of look is that? Is he going to be happy that his team is purposely losing? No, it's not going to happen, guys. A tank is not going to happen. It doesn't happen in the NHL. It's not happening with the Islanders. So I think it's important that you can joke about it. You can, at the bottom of your heart, hope they lose so they can get a Rasmus Dahlin. But just know it's not a practical wish. It won't happen. Garth Snow, just going to touch on that briefly. He's the man. He's the guy who drafts. He's the guy who has put us in this position. This is his last chance. He needs to re-sign John Tavares. He needs to, if the ping pong balls go his way, have a good draft. Garth Snow has a lot of pressure this offseason. John Tavares is just the main reason why. So, guys, it was a fantastic show this week. I was very happy to be able to speak to Shannon Hogan. And we talked about a lot of great stuff. I was very honored to be able to have her on the show and talk about the team and her experiences. Tanking, you know, this is probably the last time it will be important to talk about the tank, because next week the season will almost be over. But tanking, I'm telling you guys right now, if there's one thing to take away from this episode regarding tanking, it doesn't happen in the NHL. It really doesn't. This isn't the Philadelphia 76ers. This is the New York Islanders, and John Tavares needs a contract. So tanking is not happening. So, guys, this was Destination Hockey on the 100 and Chamber Radio. Thank you so much for listening today.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Jury deliberations begin in the Pulse nightclub trial in Orlando, where Omar Mateen's widow faces charges of helping the self-described ISIS supporter carry out a shooting in a nightclub that killed 49 people. Prosecutors revealing during closing arguments that the original target was a Disney Entertainment Center. China confirms the rumors that North Korean's leader Kim Jong-un visited the country for a meeting with their president, meeting for an unofficial visit. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders saying at a press conference,
"We feel like things are moving in the right direction, and that the meeting yesterday was a good indication that the maximum pressure campaign has been working."
Kim saying he's willing to talk with the U.S. and again promised to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. On Capitol Hill, justices hear arguments today about redrawing congressional maps, cases from Maryland and Wisconsin both being heard, which could reshape how both parties draw maps after the next census. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot. It doesn't take much for grocery store shelves to go from fully stocked to completely bare. Please don't wait for an emergency to happen to become a victim of chaos and a government that cannot provide. Make sure you have an adequate food storage supply and use My Patriot Supply. These are great folks I've started working with. They've helped me plan for an emergency. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, with this first step, you can make any crisis seem like an inconvenience. Get each person in your household a two-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're only $67. That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540.